This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're with Lin Chuang and Sharit. Now, the government has decided to terminate the project delivery partner agreement for the Sarawak portion of the Pan Borneo Highway project. And this is in light of a similar cancellation for the Sabah portion of the highway, quoted by sources to The Edge from as early as March this year.
Yeah, so this is the story from The Edge, quoting sources. And basically, the cabinet yesterday apparently approved, killed the PDP portion. And as we know from the story, the PDP involved in the Sarawak portion is, the partner there is Leberoi Borneo Utara, LBU, which is linked to a person named Tan Sri Bustari Yusof, one of the alleged Najib confidants. And he's, of course, the brother of the then Public Works Minister, Dato' Sri Fadila Yusof. This contract awarded back in 2015, June. So obviously, if you go by the fact that the cost of the stretch is about 16.5 billion ringgit, his portion at 5.5% is worth 907 million ringgit, which is all right, isn't it?
I wouldn't mind like a 907 million ringgit. Yeah. Small change.
There's a lot of Kentucky Fried Chicken in there.
Absolutely.
So I think the rationale behind all this is this, the decision to save costs and project remains on track for completion. So Pan Borneo project is slated to complete by the end of 2021. And at the moment, it's 45% complete, especially in particular the Sarawak portion of it.
Yeah, so apparently this is slightly ahead of the scheduled completion rate of 43%. And actually, Works Minister Barubian has reassured the public today that the construction of the Sarawak portion of the Pan Borneo Highway will not be delayed once his ministry takes control from LBU, because he said if there are any delays, the contributions will always be on the contractors themselves. And he said that they made it clear the work packages should proceed, and whatever it is, they'd be informed of any problems or disruptions along the construction alignment.
So apparently this highway is about 45% built. So what I did was, having ascertained from the story that this 1,060-kilometre stretch is from Teluk Melano to Marapok in Sarawak, I like to do road trips, so I just checked that out on the maps, Google Maps. Right now, that whole stretch is about 1,600 kilometres. So if this Pan Borneo Highway is built, it's going to shave off about 600 kilometres from this otherwise convoluted journey. It passes through cities and towns like Serian, Sarike, Cebu, Bintulu, Miri, of course, and then ends up past Brunei at right on the northern side of Sarawak. It's going to be fascinating, this highway.
Absolutely. So it's definitely going to be at least a 5 days, 4 nights sort of holiday
trip,
right?
Mean?
Yeah.
We're talking
about 31 hours of drive on this road.
And no small scale, 114 bridges across rivers, 57 pedestrian bridges, 17 interchanges, nearly 600 bus shelters. Mm.
Yeah, so I think this is key, isn't it? I mean, to have such infrastructure in Sabah and Sarawak, we're talking about a very large country, and it has a lot to offer Sarawak, especially in the area of tourism.
Yeah, but what it can't offer is the fact that this 907 million ringgit that is going to be otherwise, going to go to Tan Sri Bustari, can be saved by the government. And, basically, this PDP structure was very interesting for him, with all PDP people, because they don't bear the full cost of overruns. Any delays, any cost overruns, they don't bear. They just manage it, and it kind of goes pear-shaped, well, then they just wash hands. It's great, isn't it? It's basically free money.
So this is cancelling of a contract, right?
I mean, yeah, so all related contracts would also be novated.
Yeah, novated, that's the word.
Yeah.
And, we're dealing with a contract here. How easy are we talking about here when it comes to government making the decision to just, cancelling a project as big as this?
Well, it makes economic sense, and then there's some legal repercussions, but it's not as if the Sabah portion was not also, because the Sabah portion, the PDP portion of the Sabah side, was also cancelled in late March, and that PDP was basically, I think, MMC Corp. Mm. With a bunch of other companies, UEM as well.
All right, and I guess this is a developing story, so we will bring you any updates as we get them. But also this morning, also in The Edge, apparently the estimated budget of 21.6 billion ringgit for the National Fibrisation and Connectivity Plan, or the NFCP, that's going to be equally funded by the telecommunications industry's Universal Service Provider Fund, as well as telcos in Malaysia. Now, a Malaysian Communications and Multimedia Commission Chairman, Al-Ishal Ishak, added that the 21.6 billion is a ballpark figure, and that the commission will refine the figure in the upcoming quarterly reports starting next year.
Our 21.6 is an estimate. It could be higher, it could be lower. That is the ballpark. We've worked with the industry, we've looked at our data, we've looked at in the past when we do our USP rollout. Per tower di Sabah Sarawak, per tower di Semenanjung, how much does it cost, etc. This is a ballpark estimate. As we do our quarterly reports, starting next year, then we'll have granularity. And as we get into the tenders, as we get into the projects, now some of those projects are not our projects. Some of the USP projects will be done up as part of the natural progression of the telcos. We meshed it up, and that's where 21.6 came from.
Yeah, Alisha then went on to explain the mechanics and purpose of the USP fund.
The government doesn't fund the USP. The USP fund is actually 6% from the top line of telcos contributed into the USP fund, which MCMC manages every year. We have contributions from all the licensees, and that becomes a USP. The reason for the USP is to ensure coverage for underserved areas. Sebab profit-oriented companies will always focus on commercially viable areas. But we need to manage the digital divide. So the government doesn't put into the USP. Rather, we do the collection. And yes, part of that 21.6 billion is the USP fund existing today, plus the future collections that come in every year.
So there's been a lot of talk about the USP fund as a result of this. And so as of 2017, the fund is looking between the amount of about 8 billion to 9 billion ringgit. And according to Chairman Ali Shah Ishaq, is that 4 billion to 5 billion will be committed for this national fiberization connectivity plan.
Yes, so apparently he's also added that MCMC has frequent stakeholder engagements, not only to collate the investment, but also to ensure that companies avoid duplicating their infrastructure, because Malaysia is a net importer of telco equipment. So because of that, it does lose out on the foreign exchange market if each company installs its own towers. So therefore, moving forward, the policy is going to be emphasising the sharing of infrastructure and resources with the end goal of giving the public high quality and broader coverage coupled with affordability. So I think
just in conceptual terms, the USP fund has been set up because otherwise the telcos would not, put towers and connectivity in non-commercially viable areas. I mean, for example, in rural areas like in the jungle, why would they bother, right? There's no subscribers there to monetize. But because this has been foisted upon them, because it's mandatory by the MCMC, then there's some money to be making sure that the whole country is connected. And that can only be a good thing.
Yeah, but it's just that now we're looking at the figures that's come out. So 2017, 8 to 9 billion and 4 to 5 billion that's going to be committed. So that's still another 19 billion gap that we're talking about to be invested. Again, it's still a ballpark figure. It could be more, it could be less. So clearly the 4 billion would be put into, like you said, areas where businesses may not have a good business case to set up. But we're not just talking about fiber optics here. We're also talking about satellite services as well, especially in those deep rural areas when fiber optic is, it's just not feasible to be installed.
So the shortfall is about 15 billion ringgit, yeah?
Yeah.
To be divvied up between all the rest of the telco players.
Well, I guess that's the part that's still not clear. So apparently, if this is going to be a joint effort, it just seemed like another 15 billion that's going to be coming from it's going to be contributed by the private sector.
Yeah, so and speaking of fibre optics as well, there has been some news this morning about Opcom Holdings, who saw their shares spike by as much as 8.5% or 16% on Bursa Malaysia yesterday. And this is a fibre optics company. Some say it is a monopoly. And they are a fibre optic manufacturer. There are many fibre optic manufacturers too, right? Because MCMC doesn't actually buy fibre optics.
Yeah, so I mean, fibre optics are separate. They are those service provider. They sell the infrastructure, the material itself. But if we look at what fibre optic could do, is that so in areas that could be covered by fibre optic, we're talking about speeds up to between 1 gigahertz, 1 gigabit of broadband speed up to 100 megabit. So the rural areas at the moment, what Myasat could probably offer is just up to about 25 megabit. But still, I mean, realistically, if we want to get on board with the whole digital economy, everything powered by internet, 25 megabit is still good enough.
Yeah, but from my limited knowledge of fiber optics, it costs quite a lot. And, for 1 kilometer of laying basically fiber, it costs a lot of money. And that's obviously constricted by land and cost. So if you can send up satellites at a far cheaper price, then why not, right?
Absolutely.
And you don't need 1 gig per second, right? You need, I mean, 25 is pretty good.
Yeah, so that is the interesting question, isn't it?
Is it enough to watch Netflix, though?
That's is that thing. What we're
without
going
without buffering,
for?
Exactly.
Is that what we're going for?
That is the absolute benchmark of connectivity here in Malaysia.
Can you watch Stranger Things in 25 megs per second?
In the middle of the jungle.
In the middle of the jungle.
That's right.
BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.